Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Update on Manx Radio. 30 minutes to take you through what's been happening on the Isle of Man today, and it includes talking about volunteering, a crucial element for so many charities and organisations, but it is proving a struggle to get people to give up their time. We'll be talking about that. Also tonight, a new report paints a mixed picture of the island's business environment. Hundreds of kids are gearing up for the Manx Youth Games tomorrow, and the University College Isle of Man celebrates two landmark anniversaries today. So we'll be talking about that, keeping an eye on the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, we would love to hear from you. You can text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. Kick things off, Simon has a roundup of the main news headlines for us. Fastamai.
Police say they're concerned for the welfare of a Port St Mary man. Lee Cowell, who's 36, was last seen wearing a beanie hat, a dark jacket over a T-shirt, blue jeans and trainers. Officers stress he's not in any trouble, but they just want to find him safe and well. If you've seen him at any time today, please contact Castletown Police Station. Plans have been submitted to construct an underpass beneath Ballacutchell Road on land adjacent to the Comis Hotel and Golf Resort in Mount Murray. The applicant says the construction would form part of the hotel's preparations for its role as the designated hub for golf at the 2029 Island Games. A new government report says the Isle of Man's business environment remains challenging but broadly stable. Staffing pressures, rising costs and recruitment issues remain widespread, especially in skilled roles. But over three quarters of respondents still recommend the island as a place to do business. International news, the National Trust insists it's now focused on creating a positive legacy for the Sycamore Gap tree after two men were found guilty of cutting it down. The former friends travelled miles to fell it in 2023. The judge reminded them he could hand down a lengthy jail term when they're sentenced in July. And the Pope's delivered his first Holy Mass on his first full day in the job. Meanwhile, his brothers described the new pontiff as being very concerned for the poor. Those are the news headlines. I'll be back with more news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Simon. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. It's lovely this evening, dry and sunny, a light southeast wind, and there will be clear spells overnight. So temperatures falling tonight to around 6 Celsius, and this fine and dry weather will continue over the weekend. So plenty of sunshine tomorrow, a little bit more cloudy on Sunday, temperatures around 17 or 18. So maybe dig out that sun cream. The risk of the odd shower on Monday, but there'll still be some good sunny intervals. So all good as things stand. Sunset this evening, 9:04. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 5:24.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshore Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tramode Estate, view delshorevehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Pagod Cassery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cassery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagod Cattery on 676 947 or find Pagod Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, a new government report has painted a mixed picture of the Isle of Man's business environment, with some cautious signs of optimism, but also continued concerns around staffing, infrastructure and skills. Well, Christian has been looking through the findings from this latest business environment and conditions survey. So, Christian, what would you say stands out in this report?
Well, the overall message is that conditions remain broadly stable. Around 60% of businesses said their situation hadn't changed much over the past 6 months. And while the rest were split between those seeing improvement and those seeing decline, there's slightly more of a positive outlook going forward. About a third of firms expect demand to grow over the next half year.
But I guess despite that optimism, there are still some very clear challenges, aren't there?
Absolutely. So economic pressure remains a major concern. Many of them are citing financial constraints and insufficient demand. Over 40% of businesses said they've had to raise prices largely due to rising costs in energy, materials and staffing. And even with those increases, many still reported flat or falling turnover.
And that staffing issue in particular seems to be a recurring theme.
Yeah. So recruitment continues to be a big issue, especially in skilled and technical roles. Nearly half of businesses struggled to fill vacancies over the past 6 months. And many said that led to staff taking on longer hours or being unable to meet demand. At the same time, though, more than 80% said they had no plans to make redundancies. Perhaps that's because recruitment is such a challenge.
What does the survey say about education and skills?
Well, that's another concern. Over 80% of businesses said young people lacked at least one skill needed for work, particularly life skills and interpersonal abilities. Two-thirds also felt the education system wasn't responsive enough to the needs of the labour market, which could be affecting long-term recruitment and training strategies. I should add that we have contacted the Education Department for an interview on that. Nothing back yet, though.
And in terms of the wider business climate, is the Isle of Man still seen as a good place to do business?
Well, largely yes. Over three quarters of respondents said they would recommend or somewhat recommend the island as a place to do business. But there's growing frustration with infrastructure, particularly the planning system and transport links. Around two thirds expressed dissatisfaction with planning, and more than 70% with transport were relevant to them.
Thank you very much indeed. Christian there, taking a look at the state of the island's business landscape as ever. You can find out more about that at manxradio.com. 7 minutes past five, and a local charity is hoping to encourage more people to give up their time and become a volunteer. Now, the Isle of Man Victorian Society, one of the things it does is help run the opening of the Camera Obscura here on Douglas Head. Founder of that society, Peter Kelly, says a number of illnesses among their usual cohort of volunteers is leaving them rather short at the moment.
It was built 1892 by Mr. Fielding. It's the only multi-lensed camera obscura, certainly in Great Britain. And they're still building them in America, but they still build them with one lens, which revolves. Whereas here, he had the very clever idea, pictures stay still, people move. But he fell on his sword in so much that this was coloured pictures before there was cinema. So the Victorians came in and, wow, look what's happening out there. Oh, look at those.
And so how often are you able to open the Camera Obscura?
Well, obviously we rely on volunteers. So we're open on a Saturday and on a Sunday and on a bank holiday.
Why do you think you're short of volunteers, but it's not an issue that you alone are facing?
Well, it's only every so often we find that our numbers of volunteers are dropping. But basically what it is, that the people that volunteer have retired. We want to keep it going. Hence, at this moment in time, we are looking for new volunteers.
What do you think you can do to try and encourage more younger people to give up some of their time in such busy times?
I wouldn't even try. I've got sons and trying to catch them. It's the retired people who a Saturday and a Sunday is no different from a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So they can afford 4 hours and that's it. And when we've got a full complement, you get 1 4-hour session per month. So it's not onerous by any means.
And what is a full complement for you? How many volunteers do you need?
Well, we need about another 10 at the moment to bring us up, as say, with people in hospital and illness and what have you. When we started, we had 40 volunteers, but gradually that's decreased. We've got down to about 20, but as I say, there are some who can't do it just at the moment.
That is one of the founders of the Isle of Man Victorian Society, Peter Kelly, talking to Amy there. The Camera Obscura is a wonderful attraction if you haven't been to it yet. It is definitely something to see. And if you are able to help with just a couple of hours of volunteering, the Victorian Society would love to hear from you. It is coming up to 10 past five. A number of the island's plantations and glens remain closed at the moment as the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture continues to make them safe. Now, this comes after the severe storms this winter, including including the record-breaking storm Iowin back in January. And if you remember, that saw wind speeds of 107 miles per hour recorded on Snaefell. It seems almost unbelievable as you look out across Douglas Bay at the moment and seeing the sunshine. But Forester Andy Neal and Director of Forestry, Amenity and Lands at DEFA, Andy Lees, have both been talking to Amy again.
We sold the timber as standing race, basically, to a UK company who engaged with a contractor to come over, fell the trees, process the trees. And unfortunately, most of our plantations on the island are all even aged. So within this commercial crop element, they're a 50-year rotation. These are over 60, 70 years of rotation now. So they're over and above when they should be felled. So with more and more extreme weathers, we're getting winds, rains and things like that, they're getting more susceptible to wind throw. So we have to do something with them before they get worse.
We were just looking at a map before and you can see the zones that have been harvested and there is still so much of the plantation left. So it looks drastic, but actually there is still a lot here.
60-70% of it is still being retained. It's as you drive in, you see it from the road edge, it looks a massive area, but Arch Elegant is a large plantation.
So in some ways, while maybe your hand's been forced by the storms and the storm damage, actually this provides quite an exciting opportunity for the future of the island's plantations.
An absolute opportunity. One, it provides revenue. Two, it allows us to manage the forests. You know, we can't just plant and leave it for the next 50-60-70 years. We've got to proactively manage. But also where we harvest, we have an opportunity of changing what we do within it. So different species of trees, different type of recreational use. So it is like starting afresh again. We don't close plantations on a whim. We have got, as you're saying, some huge pieces of kit. We have people walking into the harvesting site, people walking dogs, motorbikes, cyclists as well. Every time somebody walks in, the team have to stop what they're doing and check. And it gets to a point where every time these people come in, you're delaying the actual plantation opening. The harvesters will literally stop and then check everything again. If we let the harvesters continue with no interruptions, we can get these plantations open a lot quicker.
That is Andy Lees, and before that, Andy Neal. So two Andys from DEFA talking to Amy there about the plantations. And while Amy was there at Arch Elegant, she took a video, which is on our social media page and also on the news story on manxradio.com. Well worth having a look at because it made everybody sort of go, oh my goodness, when you see what the Andys were talking about there and why it's so important that people just steer clear while all that work is going on. 12 minutes past five. Well, University College Isle of Man is celebrating two milestone anniversaries today. This year marks 145 years since the Douglas School of Art first opened its doors, and today is also 50 years since the official opening of the Homefield Road campus. And to mark the occasion, staff and students gathered at the Hive Library. Chanel went along and she spoke to Principal Jasmine Kelly.
I've been a student here myself, and so many students will have passed through the college, made great friends, learn new skills, gain qualifications and insights into career opportunities they may never even have thought of, and help support the island's economy and develop the island's economy, whether they become self-employed or gone to work or even further afield, spreading that passion for lifelong learning too. So many people come back to us, retrain, do a leisure course, continue to develop their skills, raise their levels, look at different qualifications. For example, we offer degrees and master's level study here too.
And there's more sectors being brought into UCM.
Yes, I mean, even we continue to review our curriculum and sort of make sure that we're meeting local needs, supporting our local employers and on the community. So, for example, over the last couple of years, we've introduced counselling courses. We introduced dental nursing a few years ago. This year, we're introducing a new degree in applied social sciences, which gives you an insight into the sociology, criminology, etc., and a really valuable degrees to take you in lots of different employment routes.
So when you look at the courses that you're about to introduce, do you also look at the kind of skills that's needed on island and how that will benefit the island community?
Absolutely. So we engage with employers, we work with government agencies, we work with tertiary groups to look at what's emerging, what the needs are, and we continue to develop our courses. So for example, many of our students benefit from fantastic work placements. You may be aware that our Level 3 health students, for example, all go into placements with Manx Care over the 2 years of their course, giving them a real insight into the broad range of jobs that are available in hospitals and the care sector. So we continue to work on those opportunities to not just update and provide new courses, but to continue to make our courses even better as we go along too. So continue to make that, bring the world of work into the student experience, but also making sure this place is a vibrant, fun place to come into as well.
That is the principal of the University College Isle of Man, Jasmine Kelly, talking to Chanel about those two milestone anniversaries today. Again, we've got another video on the Manx Radio Facebook page and also on our YouTube channel as well. And just thinking about what UCM offers, I mean, it's such a valuable thing to have over here for people who maybe don't know what they want to do next after maybe GCSEs are finished or A-levels. So many opportunities, and they're also very, very keen to talk to anybody who's got any questions. 5:15 now.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, fortunately, nothing being reported on the police pages, so hopefully your drive home will be peaceful this evening. All okay down at the airport as well. And the steam packet, the Maxman, is on her way back to Douglas, due to get in at around 6, and then we'll be heading out again a little bit later at 7:45. For the full rundown of all the traffic and travel news around the island, if you just go to maxradio.com, click on Community and then our Traffic and Travel Hub.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside!
It's 5:16, and officers from Planning and Building Control have opened an investigation into a church group's development in Douglas. Now, it's alleged the demolition aspects related to Living Hope's new place of worship have extended beyond that permitted by authorities. Lewis Foster has the details.
The organisation is redeveloping Removals House, formerly a music shop on Finch Road. Plans were given the green light in July last year, with Living Hope saying it would be home to its Douglas City Centre congregation, consisting of over 250 people. The application was to renovate and convert the building, with minor changes to the roof and some external walls, hard landscaping, and the historic fountain outside. However, Media Isle of Man reports that demolition works have taken place, with only one of the two gable-ended brick buildings remaining standing and the showroom structure between them flattened. It says last month a spokesperson for the Planning and Building Control Directorate said the extent of the demolition was being reviewed to determine whether it aligns with the approved planning consent, but there had been no formal request to investigate a breach of planning. Now, a spokesperson for the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture told Manx Radio, "I can confirm that officers from the planning team have visited the site and the matter is under active investigation. We have nothing further to add at this time."
Lewis Foster reporting. Now, an MHK has criticised the Isle of Man's approach to tourism, warning that the island is not treating the sector with the seriousness it deserves. Arbury, Castletown and Maloo member Tim Glover thinks the decision to scrap the bus route to Craigneish sends the wrong message, describing the heritage site as one of the island's crown jewels. Now, the Department of Infrastructure previously cited financial unviability as the reason for the route's removal. Mr Glover has now tabled a question for the House of Keys next week, asking which bus routes are profiting instead.
Although this service does provide vital links for the people that live in that area, it's also the tourist trade. And I think if you go back to September of last year, we described the move as premature and madness before they'd actually consulted. And the Southern Commissioners, they all believe that this route should be continued for the residents and for the tourists. And I know there was a meeting held by the Save the Craigneish bus group on the 28th of April. There were 70 people there. And I believe that there's a taxi driver been helping out as an interim measure, because there are still tourists that are wanting to get to Crown of Manx National Heritage's properties, really. I know, obviously, the Minister for Infrastructure, Michelle Hayward, spoke to yourselves on the 23rd of April, saying that her team was looking at options. So I'd say we're a bit more optimistic, but we still know that there's a lot of work to do, but that the demand is there.
The DOI minister said she's considering reinstating the route and she's going to work with her department to try and sort this out. So how do you feel about this, and how do you think residents and tourists alike will feel about this?
It's certainly a beacon of light, but I do, and the board also, appreciate that, you know, the announcement of this was just prior to the new bus timetables coming out. Drivers will be rostered based on that particular timetable. The minister did not give a timescale, even though she did say she wanted to get the route up and running again. So much as we think this is an urgent need and we'd love to see it reinstated for this particular tourist season, there's going to be a lot of juggling to be done. And we still find it a bit baffling that there are buses still going to the Nyarble, where the cafe is closed, and yet they're not going to the Sound, which is a bustling, popular destination.
That was actually Jane Glover from Arbury Commissioners, the eagle-eared among humane. Realised that wasn't Tim, but yes, his wife Jane instead. But still a subject that will come up in the House of Keys next week. Coming up to 20 past five now, hundreds of island youngsters are expected to take part in the 2025 Manx Youth Games. It's being held tomorrow at the NSC across Douglas and Braddon. And while sport can, by its nature, be competitive, Gareth Lloyd of the Manx Sport and Recreation tells us that's not the main aim of this annual event.
The main point of the Manx Youth Games, it's not about the competition side, it's just about giving the opportunity for young people to try new sports. But it's not a lot of money. You manage to go and pay your pound, try a new sport, try it for a couple of weeks, and you never know, you meet different children from all around the island, so you get to meet new people. It's an event for all them kind of aspects, the competitive side. Obviously, you have your individuals who get a little bit competitive from time to time, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's all about just giving young people the opportunity to try something what they might not particularly do.
Obviously, in the last couple of years, we've seen, you know, cost of living rise here on the Isle of Man and around the world, but the fact that it is a pound per session, trying to make it affordable as well, how important is that?
It's massively important. It's been a pound since it originated back all them years ago when Gianni started this with Paul and Andy Varnum. It's one of the main barriers what we try and make sure is no pressure at all for families at home. Those at MSR don't take any of the money. It all goes back into the sport and down to them however they want to use it to grow their sport and make the sessions as fun for the children who attend.
A lot of preparation goes into it, but just tell us a little bit about what the atmosphere is like when the Manx Youth Games actually get underway.
Oh, it's fantastic. The weather does make it even better. Since I've taken over, I'm not going to jinx it, but we've had decent weather. Years before, my predecessor Gianni always looks at me and shakes his head because of the number of years where it's rained. And again, the environment in the morning when all the parents are down and we have our big procession with the children representing the sports. Yeah, it's a great feel down at the NSC on the morning and throughout the day.
That is Gareth Lloyd of the Manx Sport and Recreation talking to Rob there. The game's opening ceremony gets underway at 10 tomorrow at the NSC. You can find the full details of the events on the Manx Sport and Recreation website. And in the week we've marked VE Day, there's a new exhibition celebrating the life and work of Manx photojournalist Leonard McComb, and it's open at the House Manannan in Peel. It's called Through the Lens of War and showcases his images from the closing stages of the Second World War, captured across Europe, Germany and Poland. Curator of Art and Social History Matthew Richardson says it's not often you encounter an archive that has been virtually forgotten.
So actually, and quite a challenge as well, to thin down, you know, these thousands of negatives that the family have into the 50 that we've got here in this room. It was quite an exercise to sort of distill that down.
Let's have a brief walk around then. A picture of the man himself as you're coming through the door there, which actually I rather like that one itself. It's very striking, him literally in action. He's got a bomber jacket on, he's got his contacts camera held up to his eye, and he just sort of, I don't know, that even that itself, I love that, with the sort of one eye and the other eye covered.
His face is very telling, isn't it?
It is. And then we branch over here to the left. There were a couple here, I think.
These two pictures were actually taken during the fighting in Normandy, while the fighting was actually still taking place. And Leonard worked alongside such names as Richard Dimbleby, you know, of the BBC, really big name war correspondents. And he was there capturing, I mean, we have here a German prisoner who's literally just walked off the battlefield and he's been searched by a British soldier checking his pockets for important papers.
The most striking picture, perhaps simply because of its size, is one on the sort of one far end on the left as you come in to the gallery. And this is Germans have been expelled from Silesia, arriving at the Anhalter station in Berlin. This one tells a story, doesn't it?
It does. Well, first of all, you've got the station itself, which is absolutely shattered. It's got no roof left on it. But these trains were arriving hourly, full of German civilians who had been driven out from the eastern territories, territories of what became Poland and Czechoslovakia. These are Germans. Civilians that had settled there, some in between the wars, some after the German invasion, but they were ruthlessly driven out. It's said that the mass movement of people at the end of the Second World War was one of the biggest movements of people in history. People trying to get back to their own country, people being driven out of other countries. Extraordinary.
That is Matthew Richardson, who is talking to Howard Kane. You can hear the full interview on the Spotlight podcast. That exhibition runs from now until the 5th of October. Admission is free, but donations are welcome. 24 and a half minutes past five. Here's Rob with the sport.
Fast am I, starting with motorsport, and the family of TT competitor Craig Neave says he remains in intensive care following a crash at the Northwest 200 earlier this week. Neave was one of two riders involved in an incident at Mill Road Roundabout during Supersport qualifying on the Triangle Circuit on Wednesday. Well, in the update, Neave's family says the care he has received so far has been nothing short of amazing, and they remain hopeful for a positive outcome. The other rider involved in the incident, Gary McCoy, has already confirmed he will miss his TT debut later this month as a result of what happened, and is thanking people for their support. Elsewhere on the Northwest 200, Michael Dunlop claimed victory in two out of the three opening races at the event last night. The Ballymoneyman's wins in both the Supersport and Superstock classes marked the first time he stood on the top step at the meeting since 2016. Meanwhile, Davey Todd secured his first Superbike win at the Triangle Circuit in the opening Superbike race, holding off the advances of Dean Harrison and Peter Hickman. Meanwhile, St John's United and Rushen United will battle it out in the 2025 Ascot Hotel Junior Cup final this weekend in the headline clash for this weekend's Isle of Man football ties. The combination sides of both clubs will do battle at the bowl in Douglas tomorrow, with kick-off scheduled for 5:30pm. The only other fixture due to take place on Saturday comes in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, as Foxdale take on Premier League champions Peel in the west of the island. And finally, the Isle of Man men's national hockey team will take part in the 2025 England Hockey Men's County Championships this weekend. Well, following relegation from the top tier of the competition last time out, the Manx side will compete in the Tier 2 event across Saturday and Sunday at Nottingham Hockey Centre. They'll face five group matches in 2 days, with the first three of those fixtures to be held on the opening day, where they'll open their account against Derbyshire. That'll be followed by meetings with Cumbria and Leicestershire on the same day, with the Isle of Man's final group contest on Sunday up against a UK Armed Forces side. The team which finishes top of the division will be crown the winner, with no knockout formats to follow the group phase.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Now it's a quick hop and a dash for Rob to get to the next studio, because the Friday Sport Preview is coming up next. Michelle Kane will then be here with greatest hits for you from 6. Jumping in, the Kane brothers here at 9, and then Ree has after hours for you from 10. Do get out and enjoy some of that lovely sunshine. I hope you can over the weekend. And do keep an eye on Manx Radio's website and also our social media pages. It's where we post all the latest news. And remember, we've also got that good news section as well. There's so many lovely things happening across the Isle of Man. We want to hear about them. If you've got a news story for us, then do get in touch. Newsroom@manxradio.com. As I say, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you again on Monday.